for Theater Talk on WBFO. I'm Peter Hall.
And I'm Anthony Chase.
Well, Anthony, we do have to start off today's show by talking about something that happened yesterday. Joan Rivers, a great performer, beloved of millions, died at the age of 81.
Quite a shock, and I think that many people don't know that she began her career as an actress and only came to stand-up comedy as a way to sustain herself while she was trying to make her way in an acting career. I did see her on the Broadway stage in 1988 when she took over the role of the mother Kate in Broadway Bound, Neil Simon's Broadway Bound for Linda Lavin. And it was remarkable to see Joan Rivers as a working class housewife in Brooklyn, no makeup, hair pulled back, doing this quiet, very realistic character, a beleaguered woman whose husband is unfaithful. And she was terrific in the role. I wish that she had done more, but in the theater, that Joan Rivers comedy influenced many, many playwrights. I think notably of Nikki Silver, who interestingly writes many roles for Linda Lavin. But I'm quite startled to suddenly be in a world in which there is no Joan Rivers. What a large personality.
Tony, you've seen Joan Rivers on Broadway, but did you ever see what she's most famous for? Did you ever see one of her stand-up acts live, not just TV?
Often.
Really?
Including at Melody Fair, including at the O'Keefe, including at Shea's Buffalo, the night of Johnny Carson's final broadcast. I did see her as recently as a few weeks ago and spoke with her at Lincoln Center, where we were both attending the stage adaptation of Moss Hart's Act One. And she was lovely, gracious, and of course, being Joan Rivers, dressed to the nines. We'll miss her.
Here in Buffalo, we're reclaiming a lot of industrial spaces and turning them into theaters. There are plays now at the grain elevators. There are plays underneath the skyway at the canal side. And there are plays taking place over at 255 Great Arrow at the corner of Elmwood, which is, well, it used to be a warehouse when I was younger. Now it's the Manny Fried Theater.
Well, the elevator in there, they used to transport Pierce Arrow automobiles. But the wonderful stage adaptation of John Steinbeck's The Grapes of Wrath opening tonight at Subversive Theater Collective. I think opened at Steppenwolf in 88. I went to England. I think I saw it on Broadway in 1990. Of those novels adapted to the stage, this is one of the really terrific ones about the family driving to California for work during the Great Depression.
Now, I think most of our listeners have seen the movie with Henry Fonda. How will this compare with that?
The key episodes are there. The characters that you know are there. And you know, the sense of gravitas, the respect for working people that is in the novel, in the film, is also in the play. Also, just the thrill of being there live. It's a huge, sprawling, episodic thing, and all of those locations brought to life from nothing. I'll be interested to see how they do the automobile. The truck was quite famous in the Broadway production, and it will require, well, I suppose you could just use a few chairs, but we'll see what they have done.
While we're on the topic of, well, unusual venues, not all the great theater in Buffalo happens downtown in the quote-unquote theater district. For example, if you go out to Damon College on Main Street in Amherst and drive behind the college, you find Musical Fair Theater, and They're presenting something that sounds like a lot of fun.
They're doing The Drowsy Chaperone. It's a charming, charming musical, won the Tony a few years ago. And this is a man in a chair who is a fanatic for old musicals, obsessed with old musicals, particularly the 1920s and 30s. He recalls a time when we would anticipate the Broadway season and say, well, what will Mr. Cole Porter or the Gershwins have concocted for us this season? And then he contemplates today's musical theater and he says, Sir Elton John, how long can this unlikely charade continue? And in this play, he has a recording of a forgotten musical, The Drowsy Chaperone. And as he plays it for the audience and describes the musical from its jacket notes, the walls of his apartment fly apart, and this musical comes to life before our very eyes.
Oh, I just love that effect, by the way, whether it takes place in the movies or on the stage, where you're suddenly transported. The scrim gets lit from behind, and there you are.
Anything can happen. Yes, Peter Pan can fly. It's true.
For Theater Talk on WBFO, I'm Peter Hall.
And I'm Anthony Chase.